Rat Pack, where you at?
Going on, it's the Uptown Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Wednesday, August 16th. We've come to the end of the 32-team preview series. The Washington Commanders on today's show. We are going to talk about this craziness at quarterback and how that will impact Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. We'll also look at the impact of Eric Bieniemy on the backfield. Could we get a little Kansas City vibe here with Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson? But first, let me tell you about this contest we got going on. If you want a year of FTN Fantasy Plus, it's really easy to enter into this contest. All you have to do is review the show on Apple Podcasts, rate the show, and in your review, of course, leave your Twitter handle, or if you're not on Twitter, your Instagram handle, and you're entered in to win. We've already had well over 150 people enter this thing. Only four have won so far, but I am going to give out another one on Monday, so you still have plenty of time to get in. And hey, if you're already an FTN subscriber and you just want to help the show out, I would not be mad at all if you reviewed this podcast. It really helps the show grow. And hey, if the show grows, I can do the show year round. I was not able to do that this past year. So let's grow the show. Also, if you just want to get your hands on FTN Fantasy Plus, well, you can do so. Of course, use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. But what do you get with it? Well, you get 16 different cheat sheets. So basically any style of cheat sheet you could think of that might help you on draft day, whatever your style is, I got you covered. With the latest updated rankings, I'm going to update them, for example, on Saturday before I head out to my own draft. I'm going to update the website so everybody has brand new, fresh rankings, because there's injuries going down. There was maybe one today, it sounds like. So injuries happening, I'll adjust everything and you'll be set. But it's not only that. You get the game plan draft guide, the rookie fantasy scouting guide. You get projections for season long. And that's just right now for fantasy draft season. As we get into the season, you get the most accurate rankings in the industry. You get projections that power those rankings, all of the great tools, the Discord community, which goes year-round as well, where you can talk directly to me and our other analysts, and you get this thing for an entire year. Gift that keeps on giving. It's the Jelly of the Month Club right there. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Also, a quick shout out to our presenting sponsor, Circa. The Circa Millions contest is registering right now. It is an awesome, challenging contest where you pick five games against the spread every single week of the NFL season, any five games of your choosing, and if you are the champ of this thing, you get $1 million. Top 100 get payouts. There are quarterly payouts as well, so there's a lot of different ways to win. And then also, if you really suck, you finish in last place, you get 100K. That doesn't suck. That's 100X your entry fee. Second to last place gets $50,000 as well. This is a really cool contest. $1,000 to enter. You can enter up to five times. You have to enter either at Circa or one of the sister properties in Vegas, or you can use a proxy service if you are out of state. And again, it runs through September 9th, the entries there. So if you want to get in soon. All right, let's talk about this Commanders team. This is a team that has some talent on it. There is no doubt about it. And honestly, I think they exceeded expectations last season going 8-8-1. But they do have a new offensive coordinator in place in terms of Eric Bieniemy in the mix. So we'll talk about what that means in a minute. In terms of who's out, Carson Wentz, Taylor Heinicke, both out of the quarterback room. They did bring in Jacoby Brissett, but potentially Sam Howell is the starter. And they also drafted Chris Rodriguez Jr. to add to their running back room. I don't think we can garner too much from last season's numbers for this team in particular, but I can look a little bit to Kansas City for some insight into how Eric Bieniemy might run things. He was not the play caller there. That was still Andy Reid. However, he's going to run, obviously, an Andy Reid-inspired West Coast offense. We have seen various versions of that, various iterations of that throughout the NFL. And these offenses can be quite potent, for sure. So last season in Kansas City, we know with Patrick Mahomes, they were extremely pass-centric. I would not expect the same for Washington because they don't have Patrick Mahomes. So it might be more balanced in terms of run-pass play calling. They did run a good bit of 12 personnel in Kansas City last season, but that's easy to do also when you have Travis Kelce. So I would expect more balance there. The 11 personnel usage for this for the Kansas City Chiefs last year was actually pretty low. They were just 24th in the league at 55.9%. So the question is, does that carry over to Washington? And obviously, when you have Terry McLaurin, A, that's pretty darn good. Jahan Dotson, that's a nice number two. Curtis Samuel's not a bad three. So I actually would expect them to use more 11 personnel than what Kansas City did last season. There are a few other wrinkles here that we have to get into, as I mentioned at the top of the show. Eric Bieniemy's impact on the backfield, so we will dive into that here shortly. But perhaps the biggest question looming over the Washington Commanders entering this season is, of course, a quarterback. There was some expectation that maybe they would draft a quarterback. We know that they were in the mix for Russell Wilson last year before he was traded to the Denver Broncos. They didn't draft a quarterback. Well, granted, they did they did last year, but they didn't in this year's draft. And that left them with Sam Howell and, of course, the aforementioned Jacoby Brissett, who, you know, he's a career backup. There's no doubt about it, but I will give a lot of credit where credit's due. This guy's been thrown into some crap a couple different times in the course of his career, and just a class act, has responded in kind and not done a bad job in the process. Like, he learned during a preseason game that Andrew Luck was going to retire and that he was essentially now thrown into the starting spot there with the Colts. Then last year, of course, he's with Cleveland, knowing full well that he basically gets 12 games and then is going to lose his job after Deshaun Watson comes back. Just does his job, though. He's a great backup, but not the best starter option out there, that's for sure. But the important thing here is that if Sam Howell doesn't pan out, this isn't like a Ben DiNucci disaster if you have Brissett waiting in the wings. And also, mind you, that also could mean that Sam Howell may not have the longest leash. Like, so if it goes sideways quickly, we could see Brissett in there. That's important to note if you're drafting Sam Howell late, or not necessarily late, but let's call it this, as your third quarterback in Superflex. That could come into play. What do we know about Howell? It does seem like he is in the driver's seat for this job. The dude's a tank, if you've ever seen him. He's 6'1", 220. Like, he is built. He is a tank. And I really don't think we can garner too much from his one start last season. He started one game, had 11 completions on 19 attempts for 168 yards and a score. But here's where the fantasy appeal comes into play. He had 5 rushes for 35 yards and a touchdown. So fantasy-wise, he put up 9.5 points with his legs. And this is no joke. At the college level, in 2021, he ranked 2nd in the nation in scrambles with 58 of them. He had 44 runs of 10-plus yards. He had 1,000-plus yards, was 1,072 rushing yards. There were only two quarterbacks in the nation who had more rushing yards, Malik Willis, 1,155, and Malik Cunningham. So if you weren't named Malik, you weren't beating out Sam Howell, 1,075. So he almost actually beat out Malik Cunningham. And Malik Cunningham, if you haven't caught up with it yet with all the buzz out of New England, darn good running quarterback, and actually, you know, he put up better numbers at Louisville than Lamar did on the ground. Obviously, not saying he's Lamar. He didn't win a Heisman or anything like that, but a darn good running quarterback. Sam Howell could be that. He certainly could. He did push the ball vertically. He had an average of 11.3 air yards per throw at the college level. That's big. And I would expect to see that. That's actually a good thing for the upside for both Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin. But there's obvious volatility here for both of those guys with Sam Howell under center. So how do we handle Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson in fantasy drafts? I think it's plain and simple. If they're there when you're up and it's the right value, then take them, realizing you're getting a discount because of Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett. Plain and simple. Take them. I'm not going to pass up. Terry McLaurin's freaking awesome. He's a very, very, very good wide receiver. Last 3 years, 87 for 1,118 yards. That's 2020. 77 for 1,053. That's 2021. 77 for 1,191. That's last season. Now, he doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. That's fine. You're talking a nice high floor with him. Yes, he has the question mark, but that's baked into his price right now. I do like the big play ability. Last season, he was one of just seven players in the league to have at least six receptions of 40-plus yards. I mean, big play, juice, outside perimeter receiver, very efficient, 2.04 yards per route run. That was 16th among qualifying wideouts last year. All of it is nice. It's just, you know, you're going to take that risk. And the thing is, if Howell hits, oh, baby. Now, if he doesn't, fine, but you're not paying like a second-round price on McLaurin. And Dotson's even later. Now, Dotson had more success in the touchdown department last season. He had seven touchdowns. He had eight end zone targets, which actually was one more than Terry McLaurin, despite playing five fewer games. He converted, by the way, six of his eight end zone targets for touchdowns. That's not sustainable, but it is pretty impressive. He also was a solid downfield threat. Average depth of target of 14.7. He saw 20-plus air yards, 30% of his targets. That was 13th highest in the league out of 103 qualifying receivers. And did run a lot of go route last season. I don't actually think that changes with Bieniemy in there. I don't. Because, you know, like classically we think West Coast offense, it's, you know, get these guys, hit them in stride, let them create after catch. And while that's true of a West Coast offense in like the 1980s, it's not the way that things are run today. Like, yes, that's going to be a component part of it, but it isn't the whole thing. So something to think about there. With both of those guys, a lot of juice. I mentioned Curtis Samuel as the number three. Honestly, not bad last season. 92 targets, caught 64 balls for 655 yards and four touchdowns. Like, not a strong, viable fantasy option, but overall, not a bad number three for them. I just don't think there's enough meat on the bone in the passing game for Curtis Samuel to actually be a viable fantasy option. And you're not seeing him getting drafted in most leagues out there right now. But overall, yeah, not bad. Very low ADOT target. So he was getting targeted on average at 7 yards downfield. So like the exact opposite of Dotson. McLaurin, by the way, was at 13.0. So like a very prototypical X receiver ADOT for McLaurin. So you got McLaurin as the X, Dotson as the Z, and Curtis Samuel can man the slot for you. Not a bad group right there. As far as tight end is concerned, we will see some Cole Turner. We could see some John Bates. Logan Thomas is still there. Definitely not the healthiest wide receiver out there, actually dealing with some injury right now. I don't think there's value at tight end. Like, there's no, oh, well, he's your Travis Kelce. Like, I don't think that's going to happen in this offense. And I do think Bieniemy is smart enough to mold what he's bringing in to the existing personnel. Like, they may, if he sticks at offensive coordinator for a couple seasons, they may ultimately bring in other players that might fit more what he wants to do. But I think he's going to ultimately operate with and play to the strengths of existing personnel in this offense. So let's talk running back. We have Brian Robinson Jr. and Antonio Gibson in this backfield. And I made the reference earlier to a Kansas City style backfield. And that means essentially that you had have an early down guy and a passing down guy, and those roles are separate. Like, no true three down option. And that makes sense given these guys. We've already seen that. So it shouldn't be a departure from what we saw last year out of them. So let me talk about Pacheco and McKinnon very quickly here. So Pacheco last year was not used much in the passing game. In fact, in 17 games, he had 14 targets. He had 13 catches. He also had 170 carries. And down the stretch, over the final nine games of the season, he averaged 15.1 touches per game, but most of those were carries. So I think that's reasonable for Brian Robinson. And if you average 15 carries per game, that's 250 plus. Like, that's reasonable for Brian Robinson. The challenge, though, is if you are an early down running back and you aren't getting much involvement in the passing game. And we saw last year he was not heavily involved in the passing game, on the season last year, he had 12 targets in 12 games for 9 catches. That's it. So pretty much, and he had 205 carries in 12 games. So he plays all 17. 250 plus carries is totally reasonable. But if he has 250 carries, what does he have? 260 touches? So that puts a cap on his ultimate ceiling. High floor, but a lower ceiling. Now, McKinnon showed us last year you can have a high ceiling in a passing down role, of course, when you have his touchdown efficiency. Gibson will be more in that role, and he's proven he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, he was a receiver at the college level. 46 catches last year, 42 the year before that. And remember, he was serving as more of an early down option early in the season. Remember when Brian Robinson didn't start out as the you know, he didn't start the season. He was recovering from that carjacking that it was horrible. So anyway, Gibson, more of a passing down option. Now, when you are more of a passing down option, you can, in any given week, be an RB1. But also, in any given week, your floor is so low if you're not getting those carries that you could be a complete liability. So if you're signing up for Robinson, know that you're not signing up for the highest ceiling unless something happened to Gibson. And likewise, if you're signing up for Gibson, know that you're not signing up for the highest floor. Any given week, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. And by the way, if Robinson goes down, that's where I would expect Chris Rodriguez to step in and fill in for Robinson. So there isn't even really handcuff implied value for Gibson there. All right, that's it. All 32 teams in the hopper. When I come back tomorrow, we're going to talk some strategy for you here on the podcast. Remember, rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. If you leave your Twitter handle in the review, you are entered in to win a year of Fantasy Plus. And if you just want to buy it, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK, gets you 10% off. All right, I'm going to catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. Until then, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.